A daughter in desperation seeks to honor the legacy of her late father. Can John Taffer come in and save the day? Find out here on This After Show for Bar Rescue.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That's some music. Guys, welcome to the Bar Rescue After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm not Kevin Undergaro. You probably, but there he is. The captain has arrived.
Just
in time. Our very own Captain Morgan just showed up. He's here. Kevin, it's great to see you. Yeah, Jules is grabbing them right now. I thought this was a great show. Luckily, we just got started, Kev, so you're right on time. Again, I'm not Captain Kevin Undergaro, guys, but my name is Jeff. I am a producer with Kevin, and I host with Nate on the Silicon Valley After Show. So if you're a fan of AfterBuzz, you've seen me before. We are here for the Bar Rescue After Show, and I thought this was a great episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, guys, I have not seen a ton of Bar Rescue. This is one of my first time seeing the show. This show is sensational. I could not believe.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, like, as someone who doesn't watch a ton of unscripted television, it's very hard to make it as entertaining as they did and as well produced as they did. I was so invested.
And you learned so much, too.
I have all these week. Bolded italics of lessons that I took away
right
from this show.
And seriously, even if you're not a bar owner, just a small business owner, you can learn so much, unless you're Nate. Nate knows everything.
That's right. That's what I'm here for.
Kev, I even feel like as a producer, like, we'll get into it, but there was one of the lessons was, do you rush the cocktail and bring it out fast, or do you do it again and make sure it's quality before you bring it out?
Well, from what if you watch the show enough and then talking to them behind the scenes, it's a no-win scenario.
Yeah.
Okay, Kobayashi Maru, Star Trek fans, it's a no-win scenario because the whole purpose of that is to mentally break you down.
Yeah.
In order to build you back up the next day. So if you notice, unless it's a really heinous owner or staff, once you survive stress test, it gets better mm-hmm. after that. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Anyway, you'll see as you start watching them.
Well, as someone who didn't know the show super well and didn't know John, I was like, this guy, like, he's so aggressive and intense. And then by the end, I was like, oh my gosh, he's this mastermind.
Well, you're also a millennial.
Yeah.
So you're not used to being yelled at that way. Yeah, but you're not, Nate. You're not. We were all, that's how we were spoken to, our generation.
Right.
You know? And I'm not saying, listen, did I say it was better or worse?
No, you did not.
I'm just telling you that's how it was.
We have to learn from the past.
John is a generation above us.
Right.
Well, I don't know if that's true either. What I do know is, you know, John's a generation above Gen X. You know, he's baby boomer, which they were dealt with World War II. So imagine, you know, mm-hmm. the World War II generation was just no bullshit, the greatest generation ever. So you get a guy like that. You know, he's going to come at you hard. I'm saying our generation, that's how we were all spoken to. We're all programmed that way. So when you guys see it, it is, I know it's horrifying, you know, and it's startling. And by the way, I don't love it. Who likes to get yelled at? I don't love that.
By the end,
I like
though,
to get yelled at.
You do?
Well, yeah, some people really respond to that.
Does not like to get, he's the worst.
I need to get yelled at.
You need to get yelled at. See, that's interesting. You recognize that. Yes.
I, someone who grew up in the passive-aggressive cornfields of Midwestern Ohio,
yes.
It's a different approach to management, but I will say I'm working with more coastal folks, and I've come to really love and embrace different management styles. Mm. And, like, seeing how much, again, I didn't know John very well. I've listened to his Tomorrow Show episode, plug for the Tomorrow Show, it's Kevin's amazing podcast, but I, by the end, could see that everything he was doing was this really, really deep, earnest passion to make people better. I was, emotionally moved by the end of this episode.
I am, too. No, I often brought to tears.
Yes.
Nate, do we weep you up at all?
Well, I got a little emotional at the end when we, you know, not to skip too far ahead, but the sentimental stuff on the wall was, I think, not only just a nice touch for the bar, but, mm-hmm. I mean, it was clearly meant a lot to her and even everyone at the bar. They had been there for like 30 years, so the guy meant a lot to them.
Yeah.
I was a little touched, you know. I was like, oh, I might cry. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to cry. But I'm touched.
Well, let's go ahead. Any overall thoughts for this episode?
Well, I mean, I loved it. It just, the minute that Nate, that I see smoking in a bar, we've talked about this on past episodes. Nicole Brazier, who's not here, is a bartender for 10 years. Mm-hmm. She agreed with me that anytime you have smoking in a bar, it's just, there's something about filth in smoking in a bar that goes hand in hand. Hmm. Very rare do we, by the way, every bar rescue we've seen from a smoking bar, it's been a pit.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, whereas we've seen some other renovations that aren't necessarily pits, but the owner needed to be renovated. The business model wasn't working. But as soon as I just see them all, like, smoking, I'm like, this is disgusting. And by the way, the cold open. How great was the cold open? Mm. I've been drinking bacteria for 20 years, and it's great, or something like that. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's a clear sign that there's a lack of professionalism. Because if you can't take the simple, you know, 30 steps to go outside to have your cigarette and take your break in between when you're working and serving guests, you clearly don't care enough about your guests and about your job.
Yeah. And listen, aren't you guys, even as a customer, aren't you grossed out seeing somebody in smoke?
But I mean,
right.
So I have a question, Jules. As someone who grew up in Europe for as long as they did.
Good question. I was going to ask this. Yeah. Too. Go ahead.
Isn't smoking more in vogue across the sea?
Very good question. It is. It actually has been banned inside public places for only a short few years.
Thank God.
But yes, everyone's really happy about it. You can see, like, a closed section, like, to smoke in this area, but not area, but not this area, but smoke travels. It's just a mess all over, so I think it's a good thing that that's...
Greece is one of the few places that has hung on, and that's one of the reasons why I don't enjoy visiting when we go, because it's just smoke everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's gross. It's just, you know, it's just disgusting.
Well, Kev, I want you to take the reins now that you're here.
No. You
well,
got
see,
it, Jeff.
Let's see how I do.
I know, because I love seeing a newbie discover the show, and I'm going to make sure John watches this too. Yeah, because it's flattering, and it shows that I think it displays that the show has legs.
Yeah, it's nice to get a fresh set of eyes. And even outside, we talked briefly. The first thing you said to me was, like, the production value, and I was like, yeah, this is the sixth season. They've got the formula down. They know exactly how they want to approach each episode. They know how to deal with each owner and what is the problem in this episode. So how do we spend the time that we need to show that? They've really got it down pat.
And a lot of that takes really savvy producers, and, you know, as someone who's working behind the scenes here.
Oh, by the
way,
it's John.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just so you know. Yeah. So, and this happens so much with these shows. You know, John has a vision. He does the show. Seinfeld and Larry David had a vision. Mm-hmm. They did the show. First couple seasons, they're like, no, we don't trust you. You don't know what you're doing. So they put in, like, other people to do it. And eventually, over time, you know, Larry David takes the show, and then Jerry ultimately takes the whole show.
Right.
And this was what happened with John. From the beginning, it was John. But it's like, okay, Bar man, you know Bar, we know TV. And as time went on, he proved that he knows. And so that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the characters for this episode. We meet Kim immediately, who's the owner of the bar.
Right.
She's trying to honor the legacy of her late father, who had owned this bar for as long as he had. But unfortunately, under her leadership and under, I think, a group of rebellious subordinates.
Non-leadership, I think.
Yeah.
And I think complacency by the by the staff.
Yeah, I think it was both. And maybe some resentment that they didn't have the same manager they used to, which I think there's probably a lesson there to be learned of when management switches, you have to learn to respond to the new management.
Yeah, well, look at the juxtaposition between Kim and Jerry, her dad. Mm-hmm. You can just even tell by pictures.
Right.
Right? Don't you feel like Jerry was one of the crew? He's drinking with them. He's running tabs. And, you know, he kind of probably... He was an older guy, so he knew how to make that system work. Mm-hmm. You see that daughter. She's... I mean... say what it is, one of the prettiest women we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? Do a bar rescue. I don't think she's...
Kim.
She's a gorgeous lady, and she's not... She didn't seem as salty, as scraggly as the father or the bar staff. So now you bring in yuppie chick to this kind of, we drink, we smoke behind the bar, we all do shots. Jerry runs it like a family. You know, Jerry was probably the type of owner that was well-loved. And it seems to me made a business that was profitable, but not super profitable. Yeah. But probably was happy.
Well, he probably also had a different relationships with his customers, and I have the feeling that Jerry was not the guy that you didn't pay your tab to, and it seems like Kim is not that. She's nowhere near as involved to.
Well, again, you bring in yuppie girl who
it's a whole other world.
Fine if it was a Fridays that they owned, or you know what I mean, or that kind of an upscale bar. Would have been okay.
Not a lot of people that look like her are going to that bar.
Right, exactly. So you can tell her lifestyle is different, her philosophy is different, and then also and we'll get into it as the layers got peeled away. You know, she also was rigid too. Like she wanted a certain standard, and that's fine, and I respect that. But you also have to know your players.
Yeah.
And this team was a bunch of, you know, they've just well-intended, but a bunch of drunks. I mean, listen, I give them credit even for having a tab because, Nate, did that not look like the bar that you could just take as much free booze as you want?
Of course.
Yeah.
So the fact, I mean, hopefully they weren't, but the fact that they even had a tab was, showed that there's honesty there too. But
I think they had good intentions.
Yes. Yeah.
They were allowing them, just like you said, to be complacent and not question, well, is this really working? Is this actually helping the bar?
Right.
And instead they're just like, this is how it is. So this is how it is.
That's how it is. And so it's almost like when, you know, like, so a ship is on autopilot. So just, let's say Jerry takes a week off, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off. Okay. But then eventually what happens? On autopilot. Eventually what? The plane's going to start going down.
Right.
And this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when she comes in, I'm sure she came in a perfectionistic kind of way to say, you know, just 180. At the time she comes in, it was probably 180 degree criticisms, not solutions, unrealistic expectations of them, which we didn't see. And then it's like she probably comes in from hot minute, gives all these crazy like orders and changes, and then is out the door. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I like that you brought up this team because I don't watch the show as much as you guys, but I found this to be, even though they were a messy crew, a pretty likable crew overall. I feel like they were all, again, open-hearted and well-intentioned. They just had to be, I think, shaped by Taffer. I think one of the first characters we meet is Liz, who's this manager, who's worked there for 30 years and was really close to her.
35 years.
35 years.
She was a manager for 13 years.
Wow.
And 35 years.
That's insane.
Right?
Yeah. She should be the best manager there ever was.
Or let's be sensitive. You know, that you're so shocked by that, Nate, because again, it's statistically proven is millennials jump from job to job to job. Mm-hmm. You guys will never, and by the way, some of it's the economy now, you guys, they're saying, you'll never have a golden watch and work 35 years at one company. You'll probably have multiple jobs, multiple careers, whatever. So not only it's like, maybe she hasn't learned anything, but do you see where she probably burnt out too?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Do you know what I mean? So I give her credit and for also, how would you hang in there for 35 years?
And I'm sure she's not the only one who's been there for many years, and when you don't get a lot of change, you just stagnate and things just get worse and worse because no one is coming in with fresh eyes to say, hey, wait a minute, why are we doing this? Why does that work like that way? And when that does happen after it's been so many years, and like with Kim, you just get back, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. We've been doing it this way for years. This is how it works.
And so 35 years of doing the same thing. And then how many years managing under Jerry, right? And then all of a sudden Jerry's gone and it's, you know, it's tough. Listen, I always say it's tough for anyone over 30. Unless you're a special person to change and adapt. And by the way, that's a challenge to you if you are, because you can, but most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, yes, I agree, the bar was well-intended. But, you know, Jeff, we talk about this every week, and John never mentions this, the show never mentions this. Over 50% of these people, they're owners and whatever. I would even say even 70%, there's an alcohol problem.
Mm.
And I think that whole staff... You know, I don't know about Liz, but that rest of that staff was, 100%. Right?
Of course.
They're addicted. Yeah.
We did meet some of these other, I liked Miami. I thought he was kind of a fun guy.
Yeah, he was.
We met Tivi and we met Robin. So this is kind of the whole team. I'm sure this is true to every episode of Bar Rescue, but we have the behind-the-scenes investigation. So we have John and, remind me of the name of the cocktail master in this episode.
Phil
Wills. So just so you know, so it's the holy trinity of Bar Rescue bar people, bar experts.
Mia, who I've met.
Mia Mastriani, Lisa Marie Joyce, and Phil Wills.
Okay.
So he is the cream of the crop. Don't get any better than Phil Wills.
Loved this guy. I mean, great personality.
Yeah, he's a stud.
I mean, I loved it. Pretty much everything about this show, but they are in the car and they're watching this investigation happen. We're seeing red flag after red flag. The big, huge stumbling block we see here is that in multiple cocktails, there are floating black specks of something. And this is the final straw. The guys rush in, FBI style, try to figure out what's going on. And we diagnose the problem and we see this ice machine. And I was eating and had to stop eating when I saw this thing.
Welcome to that. So my wife can't go to bars anymore because of this show.
I get that. I totally get that. This was horrifying.
Yep.
This was...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so...
Listen, you can go to bars. Just get bottled beer, people. That's it. That's it. You're fine.
Well, and food is tough. I mean, you've worked in food. If you're not really on top of it, this happens so fast in food. And I'm sure it had been years since they'd even gone inside that thing.
Oh,
so
years.
This is when we get to see John Taffer Unleash, which I will say I get it, because when you're talking about something like food and you find out that this is going inside of people's bodies, it is cause for concern.
A little bit.
Yeah, so I appreciated John's...
Oh, he gets so mad.
Yeah.
He gets violent.
It was a lot, but I could understand it, because seeing that ice machine was horrifying.
I just want to go back a little bit quick to the recon. When they walked in there and he asked for that whiskey sour neat.
Oh, the Navy boys.
And then she just strained it out and then filled it up with more sour.
Yes.
I died on the inside.
Yeah. And by the way, talk about a recipe for a hangover.
Yeah.
All that sugar.
It's like it's so easy. It's like the easiest drink to make. It's neat. Like, you just whiskey sour. You're done.
Yeah. Not on Bar Rescue, my friend.
Oh man.
What about a $10 all you can drink, what John calls drink and drown? That's a Bar Rescue first. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
$10, you guys, all you can drink, and these are hardcore alcoholics.
Right.
I mean, they didn't mention if you could get top shelf stuff. But
yeah,
still.
I looked on the website, and it's like $10 all you can drink.
Wait, they still have it?
No, it was an old post on their Facebook. Okay. I scrolled way back.
Good for you.
But it seemed like they were doing, it was like Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, they were doing $10 for ladies, $12 for guys, and it was unlimited drinks from, like, you know, some of the bottle beers and some of the like lower brand, just certain drink.
Was there,
so
was
it wasn't
it
like unlimited anything.
But was it hours though or no?
Yeah, it was hours, but it was like 9 to 12.
Oh,
so,
yeah, no, that's way too long, especially for draw. I mean, for these people,
that's prime time of the evening.
And when you get a crowd like this, you guys, and this, when I went to bartending school, you know, years ago, and I'll never forget the teacher I had. He was great, and he said, "Remember, you're administering a drug."
Mm.
And when you go to the bars like this, they're consuming a drug. Us three, we want to have a couple beers, watch a game, laugh, you know, talk, event, whatever, maybe pick up girls. These people, these kind of bars, you are going there to have your drug administered. So 9 to 12, I'm sure they're burying tons and tons of cocktails. So, you know, not a smart move. And the other thing he said, you know, they didn't even wait on those guys for a period of time. And John said that this is a place, right, and this is a place where staff takes care of their friends, you know, rather than the people at the bar, right?
Right.
But that's these local neighborhood divey bars. You know, you go in there and you get snarled at.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're an owner, do you correct your regulars and say, "Hey, come on, let's welcome these new people in," or risk losing them and then therefore you have nothing? So it's always a slippery slope.
Yeah, but I get the argument, because if you're not catering to new clientele, you're never going to grow.
Oh, you're never going to grow. Never. Right?
So
never.
You need to – I think the best bars can play both games at the same time.
Yeah, I agree.
But so eventually the staff gets, I think, justifiably chewed out. And we get in the next morning, and it's a fresher start.
Well, let's also give credit for Kim for climbing in that machine.
Yes.
And cleaning it up.
Yeah,
right. I gave her. I thought that was like, all right, she's a working girl.
Well, that's a big sign of that. She cares. She wants to do it right. She just doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know where to look to fix these problems. Also, again, I want to point out, Liz said that she never cleaned the ice machine. She worked there for 35 years. Was a manager for 13 years. How long could they have had that ice machine dirty like that? That is disgusting. That place should have been shut down.
I bet you that ice machine's 20 years old.
Oof.
So,
My God. That, like, she should be put in jail. That is...
So I was impressed. I do feel like the team was appropriately horrified when they really saw the ice machine. Does this always happen on the show, or are they ever like, "It's fine"?
Oh, no. You
get the full spectrum, though.
Yes.
Sometimes you get crazy crazies and they stick
deny
to
it.
Their guns.
No. You get the... Oh, yeah. Or the blame game.
Yes.
Or it's not my job.
Oh, I didn't know.
What really? I
can't do everything.
It just still blows me away, Jeff, that these bars get selected. If it were like Nate and I owned a bar and our bar was like this, if selected, guy,
and you had a month open?
Yeah, let's get in there. We want to clean this up. He's going to tear around.
I'd be wearing a suit.
But not,
it'd be spotless.
But you know what we've found through John and through other hosts on the show here who've given us great insight is that they're so incredibly lame that they can't even help that. They can't even rally to do that, to do that, like, oh, let's work a 24-hour period before John gets here.
I think often they don't, the weight of it still hasn't hit them. And I think that's part of the reason why it's so important that he approaches them the way that he does,
yeah.
yelling and screaming at all, agree, because the reality of the situation is apparent.
What, Jules?
I agree, but you know what I thought was missing is that give them a manual. Like, when are they supposed to wash this? Like, how are we making sure this is not going to happen again? They have a new equipment, but are they really going to clean it? You know what I mean?
I want well, I know. I mean, he's got 4 days there, so that's why he does shock and awe.
Right.
That's why he goes in, you know. It's
yeah,
like
we don't see everything that he does. But then also, like, that excuse only goes so far. You shouldn't have to be told what day on when to clean something. Like, you should know that you have to clean stuff.
Right.
Like, period. Like, even if you're not cleaning it regularly. It wasn't like they cleaned it every month and they should have been cleaning it every 2 weeks. It was like they had never cleaned it. The thought never crossed their mind.
Never.
Which is
I think they had
absurd.
Given up, though. I think they knew their runway, and I don't think deep down they believed they
also,
had a chance.
Also, do cigarettes and alcohol, is that conducive to wanting to grow, to get better? No, really. I mean, I'm saying like...
No, that's a coping mechanism.
It's a drug that brings you down, and it does not give you the... It was very rare to have a functioning alcoholic, first of all. Like, no one ever tells you that, but
right.
it's very rare. And secondly, when you have a drug like that going into your body, that's not something that makes you want to get up and clean and fix, and you just want to go deeper into
right.
the darkness.
Well, Kev, you mentioned learning and growing, and I do want to mention something that, even though alcohol might not promote personal growth, I know something that does, and that's Your Wife's Podcast, of which I'm a huge fan. If you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, you should listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV co-founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was the Bar Rescue panel who sent you there.
Yes.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Check it out. It's equally filled with wisdom, just like this show.
It's great. All right. We got to get back to this because I'm so excited.
Great.
I couldn't believe that in the stress test, Liz didn't even know how to separate the glass from the shaker, you guys. Chicago, you do this again?
Yep.
Wow. I really love that when they did that morning after from John's first entrance, and he's, you know, started bringing up all the problems and things that were going on, and Liz made this whole big like, you know what, you're so right, guys, this is the last chance we have, we need to come together as a team. And he was like, just full, oh man, the look on his face of like, I've seen this BS so many times, like,
I don't believe you.
Yeah,
he said,
do it.
I don't believe
right.
you
show yeah. me, don't tell me.
Yeah
right.
yeah, oh man, it was so good to
but
see.
She made a believer out of me. I was
yeah.
you know, usually
oh,
when
yeah.
he says I don't believe you, I have to say this,
mm-hmm.
he's usually right to not believe them. It's what we've seen is that is the person that really can't be changed, and she did. She mm-hmm. it seemed like she really cared. She really loved the father, and like everything we said. When do we talk about Captain Morgan?
This was
how
great.
Do we get him to come? Jeff, you can be our Captain Morgan here at AfterBuzz. Like, how do we get one of these? Nate, you don't want a Captain Morgan
around?
I'm going
to be honest. I really, really did not like this part of the show.
Tell me why.
At first, I was like, I thought they were going to bring in like another bar. And then I saw the captain guy, and I was like, oh, it's going to be one of the pirates from that old pirate place. And then it was Captain Morgan, and I don't know, but it turned out well. I liked the drink that they made, and it took me a while to, I forgot the title of the episode, that it's Captain Odie's Bar.
Yeah.
When I realized that, I was like, okay, thematically it makes a lot of sense.
First of all, I wanted to chloroform him and
yeah.
take him home with me. I want to wake up. I want him at the foot of my bed. I want to bring him to work.
Yep.
He was like, it's in a fun glass. And by the way, you guys, did anyone else get the impression that he had no clue how to mix a drink?
Oh,
he's an actor.
He's
for
an
sure.
actor. He's the captain.
Casting.
Captain doesn't
it.
Make his own drinks.
Yeah.
He just drinks them and has
he's
fun.
He's like, so Phil Wills is doing it, and one of his quotes is like, boom.
He's a Florida-based Shakespeare actor who had the opportunity of a lifetime and went so method and got everything. You know, he showed up in costume, and they're like, we had a costume prepped, and he's like, no, I've got it.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
It was very entertaining, yeah. but I have to ask you, Kev, I was just confused because we went through the stress test, right?
Yes.
And their main issue is that they don't know how to make drinks in a timely manner. So their solution is to bring a guy in costume
okay.
and create a new drink? Well, all why right. don't we just learn the
Well, let's
drink?
Break down the fourth wall. They probably got a big fat check from Captain Morgan for the show, and they worked it in. But everything starts with a fun glass, just like he said. Boom, here we go. You know? And by the way, has anyone not had a drink with a pineapple on top and not had a good time? And I was racking my brain.
That's right.
Like, you know what, Julianne? I'm like, wait, I don't think I've ever not had a good time when I've had a pineapple on top of my drink.
That is
can you say,
true.
Nate? Can you say that?
Come on, Kevin.
Even Nate, I think, would fall for the pineapple.
You know what? I would have said yes if it wasn't for last week when I went to Where the Wild Things Are and had this awful tiki drink that had a pineapple on top. The pineapple was good. The drink was awful.
And by the way, and he also taught us, Captain Morgan also taught me, you know, why do people come to the bar? They come for the same reason. What is that, people? Because you weren't even paying attention. You know why? To bring it to another level. Which I, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I never realized that as a total civilian Mark customer. Now I know.
We're going to bring it to another level.
Yes. Party like a captain and drink responsibly. Captain's orders. Hey,
they donated $25,000 to charity.
Absolutely.
So I think that's great.
And like, in fairness, he very much brought it to another level. Whatever that means, it happens.
No, well, that's why you go to a bar. Yeah. Now you know. So when you go to a bar, like, one, I need a pineapple on top of my drink because you're immediately going to have fun. Two, I am here for one thing in mind. I'm going to bring it to another level.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, what they smartly did was they decided to brand the bar. And so tropical, navy, I think the aquatic-oriented marketing seemed to really give the bar an identity.
It seemed like it was like near a base or something.
It was near a Navy base and a Navy Air Base.
Yep. Okay,
so that's why when you we'll get to reveal later, but some of the artwork reflected that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they have the sit-down, and you know, John, so you'll see with the show, then what's happened the last three seasons is John has a sit-down usually with the owner. It's the kind of kumbaya, come-to-Jesus moment. And Liz is like, I'm going to try harder. And, you know, they try to get on the same page. I mean, you see that Liz really does care.
Oh, yeah. This was moving, I
you
thought.
Know, yeah. You know, and I think, and I do think that that Kim is an outsider to this. I think she is rigid. She looks at her in the mirror, probably takes very good care of herself, and looks at these people and is probably horrified. So hopefully John became a bit of a connection to bring them together. It seemed like it did.
Yeah. You know? I thought this was really productive, and it showed me what a unbelievably multifaceted talent John Taffer is.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
He can do it all. Like I was.
Well, we've said this on the show before. I would. 9/11 happens. Giuliani's not there. Let John handle it.
He's that
kind of guy. He's just a problem solver. He figures it out. I know we probably need to cut to the reveal, right? Because I know we're short on time. Very interesting. You know, the new paint, the new sign. He uses navy colors, and he says it's not faded anymore, mm-hmm. like your dad's memory, which I thought was really nice. And then we go in and we saw one of the murals, like what I was saying earlier, has the ships and it has the planes because that's a reflection of, Nate, that's what's there. So I also thought it was great during the stress test. This is one of the first times people being interviewed outside said, hey, we're rooting for this place. We really want it to work. We'll give it a second shot.
It makes a lot of sense because it seems like it would be that community place that people would go to and would love. But also, if every time you go there, there's stuff in your drink, people are going to stop going.
Yeah,
so they want to go. They want to support. But they're not going to take the crap to be there. They're not going to give them their money.
No.
Yeah, I thought this was a great episode.
And what else did you? I mean, I thought the paddleball menu was cool because he's like, we got to make this place was boring. We got to make it fun. And then of course the new ice machine. But again, I always love when, even if it's not the most stunning renovation in terms of bells and whistles, mm-hmm. isn't it just so nice to see something refreshed and new from what it was?
I mean, I just love when they take stuff that looks like relatively okay, but then they give it all the stuff it really needs, like an actual bar back, an actual ice well, actual like
POS system,
that not people who don't really focus on those kind of things might kind of overlook as things that are necessary for running a bar well. So to me, that's the thing. Like seeing brand new POS systems is like Christmas Day.
Right. Yeah. Well, sales we learn are up 85%, which that's the highest I think we've ever even seen.
Wow.
And then when I went to Bar Rescue updates, it looks like, you know, everything's positive. The place is going the same as it was.
I Yelped them 4.8 out of 5.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I did, Nate, maybe you'll be proud or horrified that I creeped on Kim's Facebook page.
I'm proud.
Okay.
It's very millennial of you.
You got to send me that link.
Yeah, no, you know what? It was.
I was like, I'm going to fly down to Florida. I'll run the bar.
No,
I'll clean the ice machine.
Right? No mention of the bar, though. Yeah, no, because I bet you she's just going by with the money bag to take the money out and give to mom. Yeah. I don't think she, it doesn't seem like she's involved. And they had links to the other bartenders, but I was not able to open them. I don't know why. And they, it kept going back to her page or the page for the bar. So, I mean, other than that, this sounds like an amazing, this was a good rescue. Jeff, can we have you for the rest of this?
I'd love it. It's right? My new favorite show. This is awesome.
Nate, what'd you think? Good renovation or no? Good rescue?
I liked it a lot. I liked the redo. I liked a lot that it seemed like all the pieces were there that they needed for success. They just weren't being fit together in the right way. Liz and Kim were on the same team. They were just using different languages, and there was this wall between them. Mm. And it's great to have these episodes where John can come in and just smash that wall down and be like, look, you guys are on the same team. Here are the keys to success. Now you know what to do.
Just do it. And exactly. I also like the episodes where he doesn't always change the name. Because you'll see, Jeff, it's usually half the time it's a recipe for disaster because people are so married to the name. And then John changes it. He rebrands. He comes with great. And a week later, they change the name back.
I think he's become a lot more hesitant to do that because of that same thing.
He knows
they're
going to do that. Yeah.
I think he's kind of shifted the way that he thinks about the rebrands to try to get them to stick.
Yeah, to build build it around the players rather than what's 100% right for the area. He used to just go and be like...
Especially in season one and season two.
Oh, the best days.
And they would be some great, great renovations and these brand new designs and themes, but the owners were just so far detached from that it
would Pirates Bar,
just turn right back.
You know, you'll have to see. It's the most famous bar rescue episode, but the Pirates Bar, these people literally just wanted to play pirate 24-7. They lived at their parents' house. They made no money. The lady who ran it. And he... It's like we're in the middle of Washington, D.C. around the business district. He changed it to corporate, and he made it. And a week later, they literally lit. They burned things in effigies. They had ceremonies. Yeah, went back to the Pirates Bar. And, of course, it was out of business weeks later. But I think I think you're right, Nate. I think he's had to adjust his game because he knows. Anyway, Scamulet, you should probably take us out of here, right?
Let's do it.
How about, I thought we were going to do episodes two?
Well, I think we're going to do that separately, my angel.
Okay. All right, Jeff, take us out.
Well, guys, thanks for letting me guess. Kevin.
Oh, no, you're coming back for the next
one. I'm coming back. I was going to say, if you guys want to have me back, I'm coming back. But if you want to find me online, you can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. I host a show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. where we table read unproduced scripts. We're reading a town script tomorrow where a washed-up rock star accidentally buys a ghost town, and it's awesome.
Holla!
It's really good.
What's up, guys? Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media, Dog Like Nate. If you watch Westworld, check me out on the Westworld After Show at 8 o'clock. I'm going to break everything down going on in that show. And if you're into video games, check out Inventory Full PT on Twitch. We stream every Monday at 6 o'clock. We'll see you there.
Holla. At Undergar, you guys, check out the Tomorrow Show. Also, check me out on AfterBuzz TV Jersey Shore and AfterBuzz TV Billions.
Hell yeah. We'll see you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.